When a University of Alaska museum team went to the North Slope in search of an ichthyosaur last month, they weren't sure what they would find. With the help of the Army, they located the site and found the fossilized remains of what was probably a prehistoric marine reptile. But the big challenge was going to be getting it home. Museum worker Kevin May covered a 10-foot-by-3-foot area of the fossil with plaster to make it safe to move. From under a tarp protecting the specimen from the rain, he tells KUAC's Libby Casey why he's written down a series of numbers and angles on the hard plaster jacket.
We want to know when we get back to the lab how this was oriented in space, the jacket itself and the specimen. And so I marked it on the rock in a small spot, and then now I've marked it on the jacket so that, you know, just in case the permanent marker didn't survive the jacketing, you know, may peel off, plaster may get a hold of it. So I've marked the dip of the bed, you know, the orientation of how this is dipping in space, and I've marked the horizontal line on it showing how this rock does what we call strike. It allows us to orient the plane of the rock. And then I've marked the trend of the specimen, the bones in it, the sort of the general direction the thing plunges into the rock, so that you know, somebody can take this information off it, and as they're opening the jacket, they can transfer it back onto the original specimen. So we know, you know, three-dimensionally how this thing was oriented on this rock face. And that helps us, you know, understand how this thing came to rest on the bottom.
So that can help you reconstruct how it came to be, that it's right here on this face.
Sure, that. And also, when whoever does the follow-up work on this can say, you know, if they, let's say they come out here and find something else, for instance, they could say, well, we know how this was in relation to our new specimen, so...
Pretty much all shored up.
Can you tell me what you guys have done out here?
Sure. Last night we finished up the last layer of the case, the plaster jacket over this, and we applied 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9 2x4s across the short dimension of this jacket to give it rigidity so we don't have any flexing or shearing in the jacket as we remove it. Then we nailed long 2x4s the length of the jacket to the 2x4s that we welded to it with plaster. And then we just went to all the intersections where the 2x4s cross, and we wrapped them with burlap soaked in plaster to strengthen them up further. And our next step will be to cut our little pedestals underneath the jacket and flip it over.
How did you make these pedestals here?
I took a rock saw and just cut the rock out underneath the jacket. Every 6 inches. I mean, I left 6-inch pedestals every foot or so to hold it from sliding down the slope.
So there's about 6 inches of rock that's in place as it was, and then there's a big hole, kind of like a window to the back of the rock.
Yep.
And that allowed you to get the plaster up under that space?
Yep, went up probably 3 inches along the bottom edge to give it a good strong hold. Don't want the sides of this falling out as we flip it over. It would be bad. So
how are you going to flip it?
We're gonna go up above it and push some pry bars down under the backside and lever it out that way. Just throw a fulcrum behind the pry bars and just lift it out slowly, and have a whole bunch of personnel on the downslope side to keep it from sliding down the hill.
How do you know that you won't pry into the specimen, or, you know, the rock won't fracture at a crucial place where there's bone and history?
We don't know that. What we do know is that we've added a lot of consolidant, a lot of glue, and we have 3 sides of this covered in plaster, and hopefully they'll hold it, you know, the plaster and the glue will hold it in place, and we'll be safe when we pull it free. And we just, I mean, people have had that problem before where they've gone to lift something like this off where they can't. Ideally, we'd like to run strips of burlap underneath the full width of it, but we can't do that here. We've got solid rock to dig through, and it's only, you know, 3 or 4 centimeters between very, very hard layers of rock. We need a drill to get through there. So this is best. We've got 3 sides plastered up, and we just hope for the best.
So then what happens? You guys manage to pry this off. You have a ton of people standing here to make sure it doesn't slide down the mountainside.
Yeah, well, gravity's in our favor that we're uphill. We don't have to carry it uphill, which has been the case for us before. So we just kind of allow gravity to do its work, and we have 2 options. We can either just slide it down the slope, or we can carry it down the slope. We'll see how we can handle it. If we can just pick it up, then we'll walk down the ramp we made.
How far is it down to the bottom of the slope?
18, 20 feet.
But it's not going to be easy to walk on if you've got to go directly downwards, because you've got brush cut and lots of the rock you guys have cut away.
Correct. But the one plus is that we've got a lot of loose material on that slope, so that if we do bring it down, that'll slow the thing, you know. So
if it starts to move, it's not just going to slide on down like butter or something.
No, it's only about a 50-degree slope. It's not going to just take off on us. So I think it'll bite in. I think we're pretty safe if we want to take it down that way, that we just lay it down on its side and just hold it from flying down on us.
How heavy is it going to be?
Well, calculating rock at 60 to 70 pounds a cubic foot, we're figuring somewhere around 1,500 pounds with the plaster on it. Could be upwards of 2,000, depends on how much rock comes with it.
How hard was it to plaster and get this work done with the rain and the snow we've had last night and today?
Well, we were fortunate that the first layer of plaster we put on warm rock. So everything after that's been a pain to do, but the critical initial layer or two went on warm, dry rock. So it's been a challenge because we can't allow the plaster to get wet until it's cured. So we've had to keep tarps. We had a little incident yesterday where it started raining heavy, and we had to, our tarp that we used in a pinch had holes in it, and we had to get another tarp over here to kind of keep the rain off it. But it's very dry in here, so ever since we've had the tarp on it, it's been fine. It's just the weather's cold, the water's just above freezing, and so our hands have been numb most of the time.
Yeah. It wasn't a panic yesterday at all. Everyone was pretty calm, but it was very dramatic to like how fast you guys had to move to get the tarp up, and luckily you had some of the military guys helping you. And
oh yeah, we had personnel to hold on to the tarp, keep it from flying away on us. All this will make it, you know, when we get to measuring the bones and when we get people preparing this and we start taking our measurements and photos in the lab, and we'll remember this. We'll say, oh, this is all easy here, you know, even though it's tedious. We can remember that we were out freezing in the cold to get it in the first place. So.
Well, it sounds like the helicopters are moving. Do you know what that's about?
Yep. They're planning on being here by 3 o'clock, and we're going to break this free and get it going. So,
well, thanks a lot for talking
sure.
with me.
Thank you.
That's Kevin May from the University of Alaska Museum. He was part of the team that brought the ichthyosaur back from the North Slope last month. Alaska Edition continues its series about the dig tomorrow.